You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Fakenham and Ludlow, providing Fakenham passes and inspection, that is, and Lingfield on their all-weather poly track. So three meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio, it's Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hey, Marky Mark. Not too bad. The coldness is coming in. It's a little bit more bitter this morning, which I'm quite happy about, actually.
Yeah?
Well, it just beats grey, drizzly, meh, doesn't it? I don't mind. When it gets really wintry, yeah, it's like, fair enough, here it is. But this just wet nonsense has been very frustrating, Mark. You can't go out for getting some fresh air. You can't even just nip to the shops without getting soaked. You can't go out for a run. You play football, which, actually, to be fair, football's quite fun in the rain. That's about the only thing.
Yeah.
But even then, everyone comes home with sniffles. Rubbish, Mark. But it's all right, because proper winter's here now.
Hopefully it won't interfere with the racing too much, because that's causing real problems at the moment. But anyway, that's beside the point. Let's get stuck into the Monday jury. The first question is around a horse with quite a big reputation already. How impressed were you with Min, and is he the next Supreme winner?
It's impossible not to be impressed with him, really, isn't it? He won very easily. He won in a pretty fast time as well. There was a lot to like about the way he hurdled, a lot to like about the way he travelled. Admittedly, we still haven't seen him tested again. But then you could say the same about just about every one of Mullins' recent festival winners. Everyone gets to the spring and sort of says, well, they didn't beat much, did they? And then they beat everything. That's the thing for Min. Again, he was a relatively cheap purchase. He's and you get the feeling he's only just kind of coming to himself. So if that's the case, then God knows what he's going to do come the first Tuesday of the Cheltenham Festival. So, yes, I was very impressed, and most probably the Supreme Novices winner, because, again, he's just got that perfect blend, and it is getting towards somewhat of a monopoly now for Mr. Mullins in these kind of races.
Yeah, our trader's running scared. Even money for Min to win the Supreme Novice Saddle, which is very, very short, but it's not necessarily what he's beaten or what he's done on the track, apart from show that he's got a good engine and he can jump very well. It's the fact that he is Willie Mullins' Supreme Novice Saddle horse, and that's something to be scared of, isn't it?
Yeah, the combination of beautifully found sort of purchases from France mixed with the actual training expertise, and also just, again, they're just everyone's just better at it over there by the looks of things. They've got pretty much the whole setup sorted, and they're not phased at all ever. You know, a horse gets beaten, it's like, well, you know, it'll be fine next time, and they always are. So yeah, it's as you said, a pretty much a foolproof operation at the moment.
Mm. And Willie Mullins is the subject of the next question. Can Willie Mullins land the British trainer's title? And who are his three strongest festival chances? Well, he's 5-2 to win the British Trainers' Championship behind Paul Nichols, who's 1-2. If just with the prize money on offer there, if he turns up and has as many winners as we think he might, he's gonna be very close to Paul Nichols, isn't he?
Yeah, I also like the fact that he almost... You almost said it as a sort of like, yeah, we're kind of considering it now. Yeah. It's almost like a, shall we step in and ruin everyone's season? Because, again, it's going to get to the point where everyone's going to start to get a little peeved with Willie, yeah. I think. Leave something for the rest of us. I see absolutely no reason why he can't land the British Trainers' title. If he chose to, he's definitely... He definitely got the ammunition.
I don't even think he needs to choose to, does he? He could just...
By accident.
He'd turn up with his festival fancies and probably still go pretty close, because Paul Nicholls is not having the best of seasons in terms of... He's only had his first Grade 1 winner at the weekend and he's not rattling them in like you'd expect at this time of year.
No, he's just not necessarily got the same kind of firepower. And the same goes for Nicky Henderson as well, whereas everything has gravitated towards Willie Mullins. And again, by the end of day one... The Cheltenham Festival, he could have easily won the trainer's title for Cheltenham with five winners. You could have Min, you could easily see Min, Duvan, Foyne, Annie Power, and Pont Alexandra if he goes to the national hunt, which probably will because they'll probably try and avoid No More Heroes. He could easily have four, maybe five winners on day one. Again, Duvan is, I think, is his strongest challenger in the Arkle. I don't think there's anything in the champion hurdle who can get past Foyne, and even if it is, it's trained by Willie Mullins.
Yeah.
So, and again, Annie Power, the mare's hurdle is a bit of a benefit for him as well. So, yes, he can, and everything on day one.
Right, you don't need just three, everything on day one.
It just seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Have we seen the JCB Triumph hurdle winner yet?
Probably. Again, it's another Irish challenger. Ivanovich Gorbatov was incredibly impressive, and again, you start doing performances like that in Ireland, he's similar to Ira Connor a couple of years ago in the way he went about things, and all the juvenile races on these shores seem to be a kind of after you, Claude, kind of event. We've seen a couple of impressive winners. Who's Dares Wins was very impressive at Doncaster, but didn't beat much. Jibril Faro, I quite like the way he went about things. The penny seems to drop very late on, so there should be more to come from him. I'm sure something will come out of the pack in the Adonis, or something we haven't necessarily considered yet. But again, another horse has set a real standard for it. And again, with the way the Triumph's going, cream rising to the top, and it often is. It's not as necessarily competitive for win purposes as it used to be, what with the Fred Winter taking a few of those horses away. So Ivanovich Gorbatov, clearly the one to beat, but I did like the way Jibril Faro got the message late on.
All right. Ivanovich Gorbatov is 4-1 for the Triumph at the moment, and Jibril Faro is 16-1 in the betting. As it stands, give us one for the Festival, who is still flying under the radar.
Yeah, again, I'll just have a little bit of rant off air about this. But it's just a nothing question, is it? Give us one for and the radar is constantly focused on any horse who shows anything whatsoever. Like it might go and win at the Cheltenham Festival. So it's like saying, give us a horse we haven't talked about. But you've talked about them all. So, yeah, I struggle to have anything like that. I suppose the only thing with the whole Willie... It's not even under the radar at all. With the whole Willie Mullins focus, I still think Thistlecrack is the best bet of the Festival. Or at least it's starting to get to a rather silly price now. But I just think Thistlecrack is so far ahead of the rest of the field in that world hurdle sphere that I just can't see him being beaten at all. And if he was trained by Willie Mullins, he'd be odds on by now. He's still short enough at 9-4, I suppose, for anti-post bets. But I think he's the best bet of the Festival, and he's still potentially a little bit of value because I just think he's a cut above.
All right. Does Mountainous appeal for the Grand National, and what of fellow weekend winners Triolo Delenn and Cruz Linen?
No, he doesn't. He's got very much his favoured conditions, which he exploited at Chepstow. It was a great training performance. He clearly likes the track, the ground, everything goes for him there. Very, very different proposition in the spring. He's up against a whole host of completely different horses with completely different profiles, and as I said, I'd be more inclined to look at the two that the articles mentioned, aside from it, Trio de Lane and Cruz Linen. Cruz Linen could be anything, as they say, because he's been with Donald McCain for a few years, and obviously their struggles have been well documented. Mm-hmm. And with those connections, he still ran a really nice race behind Pino de Rey in the Grand National. He'll be off a similar mark next time out. He's 9 years old, so he's peaking at the right time for that kind of race. And there could be any amount to come for new connections. And even Trio de Lane, again, he's admittedly, it was a bit of a fiddly race the other day at Kempton, but he's got form around the track. He stays, and again, he's getting very much to the perfect time in his life to be going and challenging for a Grand National. So I'd much rather back those two. I don't think Mountainous will have his favoured conditions.
All right, final question. Who has caught your eye over the last couple of weeks?
Very little, to be fair, as I've been having a relatively quiet time of it, because there's very little going on. There's plenty of flights on Skyscanner have caught my eye, but for next January. I suppose of anything that's won recently, Bolt Henry would be of interest. Philip Hobbs' charge, who won at Sandown on the 2nd of January. He was a horse who was still lurking around on what looked quite a high handicap mark, but he absolutely bolted up and went past the runaway leader as if he wasn't there. So I think Bold Henry's got another handicap win in him for sure, so he would be potentially one of those.
Bold Henry then in that one. That's the Monday Jory for another week. Just a couple of other things I want to talk to you about, Ross, in the news. Big prize money boost to Royal Ascot. Their prize money has boosted 18%, which is a total of £1 million, to a record of over £6.5 million for Royal Ascot over the 5 days. That's quite phenomenal prize money.
Yeah, it really is. Going to enhance an already fantastic week. Again, it is a brilliant initiative. Still a little bit frustrating that there's a lot of prize money going in at the top of the game and there's still a massive dearth lower down. You know, you could take 100 grand of that and spread it around some really nice races to get to get the money trickling down a little bit more. But on the positive, again, it's hopefully it will continue to attract the cream of the crop to those races, because again, I absolutely love Royal Ascot and fair play to them, but again, my own personal feeling is the money could be best spent elsewhere, but it is up to them to make it the Premier meeting.
Yeah, very much will be. So every day at the at Royal Ascot will be worth at least £1 million, and all of the 30 races will have prize money of at least £80,000, which is remarkably good prize money. Good news there. And one more story I want to touch on, Ross. Gordon Elliott says he wants to put Don Cossack through his paces at Thurles this week, just to get a run into him and try and iron out those jumping deficiencies which we saw in the King George.
Yeah, it's an interesting move, isn't it? Again, to be fair, he's a horse who thrives on his racing, so I don't see it necessarily being a problem. And he absolutely bolted up in the race last year, so yeah, it's an interesting move, but I can kind of see why he's doing it.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll learn more on Thursday. Well, let's leave that there. Let's get stuck into Tuesday's action. Ross has got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, moving on to Tuesday's action, starting in the 140 at Lingfield, which is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds, a field of 8 here. And just a note, this is one of the money back second races on Tuesday, so if your horse finishes second, you get your money back as a free bet up to £25. Ross, what do you make of this race?
It is modest, I would say, but with a couple who have shown form, including Summer Chorus, Andrew Balding's filly, who won here last time out. That was over 5 furlongs. Didn't beat a great deal, should have really won, but did record a relatively good figure for the grade, and is drawn in one again with the hood on. So could be of interest if improving for the step-up in trip. Toledo as well, ran a nice race last time out, and I think he'll be better back down to this level. But Lightsome, I think, has finally been given an opportunity to actually win a race. She's had some tough tasks to date so far. She's run into some half-decent horses as well. She was beaten by one of John Gosden's on a penultimate start. And then last time out at Wolverhampton, things didn't really go to plan. She was far too keen over 7 furlongs. I think the drop back to sprinting is very interesting indeed for this horse. She pulls far too hard over longer trips. So I think a decent run over 6 will be of interest. She's drawn out in 8, which is not necessarily ideal. But I think if they go quick enough and she can be switched off, she'll be of interest. One mildly intriguing one was Fishergate, who's left Richard Farhill, now joined Richard Rowe, but had some half-decent figures for him last year, but I'm not sure what he's... rather an odd yard to go to. I imagine Discreet Hero will also be of interest to a few, but I think Lightsome, off a good gallop, could be of interest dropped in trip.
Light some then for Ross in the 140 at Lingfield. Moving to Ludlow next, a bit of jumping in there, 2 o'clock. And this one is a class 4 handicap chase over 3 miles and 1.5 furlongs. Only 5 of them in the lineup here, Ross. Who do you think will come home in front?
Yeah, I'm going to side with Take the Mick, Venetia Williams' charge, who is pretty good in these kind of conditions. Not exactly well handicapped on its best, but steadily progressive at a low enough level. And came on for its debut run behind King Messina here with a decent second over at Bangor on Dee last time out, behind yet another Warren Greatrex winner in the shape of Ballycolour. Again, not the most straightforward of horses. He needs to get into a bit of a jumping rhythm, but if he does, he could be hard to poke back, and he has won here in the past. Celtic Intrigue was obviously in good form when we last saw him in the summer, winning 3 races for his new connections, but this is very different indeed, and so still believing might be a bigger danger for a yard who do well here, but I think Take the Mick is of interest.
Take the Mick then for us in the 2 o'clock at Ludlow. And the final race we look at is the 3:40 at Lingfield Park. This one is a Class 6 handicap over 1.5 miles. It's for gentlemen amateur riders, 10 of them in the lineup here. And this is also a money back second race. So if your horse finishes second, you get your money back as a free bet up to £25. Not the easiest puzzle to solve though, Ross.
No, and that's saying something. I think Purcell is probably going to be quite popular. Ian Williams' charge was a good third last time out here behind San Anor, who has found the form since. You've got the likes of Abor as well, who's consistent enough without being particularly talented. I'd probably back the top one each way, Golden Thread. Give him a little bit of a chance. A horse whose form is in bumpers, so was clearly, you know, very much a stamina-laden animal. He then ran 3 times in maidens at Wolverhampton at huge prices, and then once at Wolverhampton last time in a handicap. But again, the handicap has given him a chance here, down to 65. And he just strikes me as a horse who could have a little bit more to offer at a decent price. And in a race where not many of them make too much appeal, I think the likely double figure odds for Golden Thread could be worth chancing.
All right, potentially a bit of value then in the 3:40 at Lingfield. As usual, Ross, let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. We'll go for Lightsome in the 1:40 at Lingfield, Take the Mick in the 2 o'clock at Ludlow, and we'll go for Golden Thread in the 3:40 at Lingfield.
Superb. Good work, Ross. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark. Shake my hand.
There you go. That's the thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1 p.m. with Dave Kellner, John Budden and Roy DeLaghi in the studio. It's Fakenham and Ludlow over the obstacles, and we also have all weather racing on the poly track at Lingfield. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.